50 years ago this week, US astronaut Neil Armstrong made history by being the first man to... You're listening to Tuesday Night's Arena. 50 years ago this week, US astronaut Neil Armstrong made history by being the first man to walk on the moon. With Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins, they made their historic journey on the spacecraft Apollo 11. To celebrate the occasion, the National Concert Hall in Dublin will present a live performance of Apollo, Brian Eno's classic ambient album, performed by Icebreaker, a contemporary 12-piece music ensemble that numbered David Bowie among its fans. This event takes place on July the 23rd. Flautist James Polk is co-founder and artistic director of Icebreaker, and he joins me from London. James, what is it about the moon landing now 50 years ago that has inspired so much art?
Well, I think the more time passes, the more extraordinary it seems. I mean, we have more computing power in our mobile phones now. Even if you buy a really cheap phone, it's probably got more computing power than they actually had on the Apollo spacecraft. At the time, it seemed this great technological achievement, but with a period of time, it sort of seems almost more extraordinary that it was done with such limited technology, and it was kind of such an extraordinary thing to do at the time.
Am I right in thinking you'd have been quite a young boy at that time? Do you have any actual memory, or was it a little later you came to the actual event?
Well, I was just six at the time, so I do have a sort of faint memory of it. But I mean, at that age, I certainly didn't understand what the significance of it was. But I mean, I do remember it. We watched it on TV, and of course it was an extraordinary event. I think we were actually on holiday in France at the time, and where we were, TVs were quite hard to find. I think it was a neighbour's house that we went into to watch it, if I recall. But yes, I think I was aware that it was something amazing happening, although it was only afterwards that you kind of take in what that really meant.
When did you become aware of Brian Eno's album? Was it the album you first became aware of? And what drew your attention to it?
Well, I mean, I hadn't particularly considered Apollo in terms of what Icebreaker might do, but I mean, obviously it was one of a series of ambient albums that he produced in the late 70s, early 80s, which are kind of seminal albums in establishing the concept of ambient music, and which is so influential on electronic music today. So the idea of actually doing a live version actually came from Tim Boone, who is a senior curator at the Science Museum in London, and he's apart from being a scientist, a very keen music enthusiast and a very big fan of Brian Eno's music. So it was he who actually suggested to us that we do a live performance, and that we try and reunite the music with the film in its original concept.
And when you think about studio albums, this album is very much rooted to the studio. How do you go about making a performance out of it?
Well, that is an interesting question, and indeed the arrangement of Apollo and the performances of Apollo was a starting point for a continual exploration of that particular question. And we've been trying to ask that question about a number of other things. There are all sorts of things you can do in a studio using electronic instruments which can't really be done live. So what does that transformation mean? You can try and sort of reproduce something which sounds very much like the original and get to keep as close to it as possible, which is kind of the direction that the arranger, South Korean composer Woo Joon Lee, has taken. He's done a really clever arrangement which uses live instruments overlapping and fading in and out of each other's sounds to create this sort of constantly changing texture, where you hear a sound and you think, oh, that sounds like a flute, and then you think, oh, no, that sounds like a clarinet, or that sounds like a violin. And the reason is because the instruments are indeed fading into each other. So you have this constantly changing texture. So that's a very clever approach. With other things, maybe you want to change things. It's maybe not realistic to completely represent what was on the original. So it's a question of interpreting what the musical element is, and maybe doing something different with it. There are all sorts of different approaches that you can take.
And you have a 12-piece ensemble. What instruments are in that?
That's right. Well, it's a 12-piece ensemble, although for Apollo and also for another piece that we're playing, Epizootics, which is a song by Scott Walker, which we're performing to his recorded voice. It's another piece that fits into the same scheme. We're joined by pedal steel guitarist B.J. Cole, who has a significant featured part in Apollo. But yes, the instrumentation is... We've had the same instrumentation for our 30-year existence, more or less, which is two flutes. We play pan pipes as well, clarinets and saxophones, two keyboards, guitar, bass, percussion, drums, violin, cello. The accordion is quite important for Apollo as well. I think that's everybody.
We're going to listen now to Under Stars, a section from Apollo. Can you introduce it, where it comes in the album and the performance, and what we should listen out for?
Right, well, this is a piece, it was one of the ambient tracks, but it's maybe slightly more melodic ambient track than some of the other ones are more static. It comes a bit past halfway through the overall performance of Apollo, but it has a wonderful texture, this one, I think, and there are lots of different lines, sort of high violin lines doubled with keyboards and sort of little guitar interjection and so on. Yes, for me it's one of the highlights of the piece.
Great, so we listen to this now. This is Under Stars. That was Under Stars from Apollo, performed there by Icebreaker. Eno echoes there a very desolate feeling of outer space. Is that what you're trying to achieve?
Well, I think the music has sort of two sides to it. There are certain tracks, particularly towards the beginning, which do indeed sound very bleak and desolate and spare. And I think... do sound like they're representing the sort of wide expanse of space. The second track in the piece, Stars, which I think is probably the longest one, is particularly static and very, very, very simple, but exquisitely beautiful. But then later on you get warmer things, and there are warmer ambient tracks, but I'm particularly thinking of the kind of country and western style ones. And it was a feature that Brian Eno and his collaborators, his brother Roger Eno and Daniel Lanois, picked up on, which was that almost all the astronauts, possibly all the astronauts, were from Texas. They all had the opportunity to take one small cassette with them when they went on the Apollo missions, and apparently all but one of them took country and western music. So there was this curious thing that you have the sort of wide desolation of space, and then you have this incredibly small, cramped spacecraft, which is just so small. If you see the re-entry module in the Science Museum, it's like a tin can. It's unbelievable that anybody could have re-entered the atmosphere in such a thing. So there is this contrast between the wide open space in this sort of cramped rather cosy space in which we can imagine the astronauts listening to the country and western tapes. So although it's not straight country and western music, it's very much sort of ambient country and western music with a distinctive slant. There's a huge warmth to that music. So the piece as a whole moves sort of gradually from a rather sort of bleak feel to a gradually increasing sense of warmth.
And the performance that we're going to hear in the National Concert Hall, it's a multimedia experience.
That's right. Well, the music is performed to the film by L. Reinert called For All Mankind, which is comprised of footage, exclusively of NASA footage concerned with the moon landings. So the original concept was for L. Reinert to make this film, which was going to be a silent film with music to be provided by Brian Eno, and this was an idea that they came up with together. Unfortunately, the sheer volume of footage that NASA took. I mean, they basically filmed absolutely everything, and it took Al Reinert like about 2 years to actually just watch through the footage. So the film took about a decade to come to fruition, by which time Brian Eno had recorded the music and put it out on an album. And then the studio who was putting the film out then wanted a more conventional documentary with voiceover and interviews and so on. So it wasn't really appropriate. And in fact, only a portion of the music on the release of the film comes from the Apollo album. So one of the ideas of doing this project was the idea of trying to kind of recreate that original concept and put the music to a silent film. And I think it's a combination which is just fabulous, really.
And we won't have any of Neil Armstrong's voice, for example.
No, there's no voice from the film. It's just the images and the music.
What impact do you think Brian Eno has had on contemporary music?
Well, I think it's absolutely vast. There is no electronic music today, and obviously electronic music is a sort of huge part of our musical culture, which hasn't been influenced both by Brian Eno and by Kraftwerk. They are the sort of two key figures or acts who defined the electronic music world, what the options are. So I think it's very important. I think Brian Eno also in particular has had a huge influence on contemporary classical music as well. And, you know, his influence seeps into all sorts of directions in so many different ways.
Your repertoire includes composers like Michael Nyman, Gavin Bryars, and our own Donacha Dennehy. Do you think it's a very exciting time to be involved in contemporary music?
Yes, certainly. And, I think Icebreaker has always had in view that there is just sort of music out there. We don't really want to define it in terms of classical music or non-classical music. When we started out, it was very much in opposition to this sort of archly conventional modernist tradition in contemporary classical music, and this never the twain shall meet attitude with different types of music. And, you know, we just find music that we like and we play it, or composers that we like who we want to write for us and so on. And I think it's very important for us that all of this music is coming together, and that something which, maybe a little bit has a classical music tag to it should just be seen as music. And at the program that we're playing, Gavin Bryars, I suppose, is a classical composer, and Michael Gordon is technically a classical composer, but all the other music doesn't actually represent that. But it all fits together perfectly well, and I think makes a very nice balanced program. So I think that's exciting, and I hope we'll take that further.
James Polk, thank you very much. Icebreaker Apollo is at the National Concert Hall in Dublin on the 23rd of July. Further details at nch.ie.